in his church the last 75 years, as he loved his wife for 73. I had the honor of praying as Benjamin went to meet the Lord. By his bed I did pray at the end, and the Lord took me to heaven. The moment I touched Benjamin, the Lord opened the portal into heaven. I saw the angels bow down to greet him as he met the one he served. Benjamin was a humble man. He did not seek fortune or fame. I could not pray, but weep at this royal moment of time. I saw angels bow down to greet him as he met the one he served. I couldn't pray but weep at his royal moment of time. I couldn't pray but weep at his royal moment of time. I couldn't pray but weep at his royal moment of time. Now Benjamin is with the one he served.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this very cold Tuesday morning. Good morning. Good morning. I am so happy to be with you guys today. It is one day before I leave and head out on the missions trip. And I tell you what, if God is not moving, I'm so excited about it. You know, I told you guys yesterday about the Lord giving me that dream and telling me to bring my wedding dress. So there's a group on Facebook that is called Tennessee and North Carolina Strong, which has, it's a volunteer thing, you know, for people that are coming to the state to bring things. And so I put it in there that God had given me this dream, and if they know of a lady that has been asking God for a dress, to let me know. So I'm really excited to meet this woman. Now, I do have a feeling it may be my niece, because the other day I felt led to mail her my bouquet from my wedding. She's been dating this guy that she's fell in love with, and I don't know why I didn't throw the bouquet at the wedding, but I felt led to mail it to her. So God must be getting it ready, you know, for her to get married. So I don't know if it's for her, but I'm going to obey the Lord and take the dress with me when I go up there. We have it all planned out, me and Miss Beth, with people we're meeting with. We got Raymond. We're so excited to be meeting up with Raymond tomorrow night. Him and his wife, we're going to take them to dinner and fellowship with them. They are donating some items for the trip. So we're really excited about that. And then we're going to meet this company on Thursday morning, first thing. And then, you know, we'll begin our day. And I am humbly asking you guys, if y'all would be our prayer team every day while we're gone. I need a prayer backing, you know, a group of people that will promise to pray for us every day. And especially pray for me safety, because Dennis has given me permission to stay longer if the Lord opens the door through Sunday. So I have the opportunity to stay the weekend. I'm just going to see what God's going to do, because my heart is, because Miss Beth can only do one day. So we've got a very jam-packed day on Thursday. But if God opens the door, you know, for me to interview other people, or if he lines up anything else, that option is open. But if, you know, I get up there and he tells me to come home, I'll come home. But anyways, I definitely just wanted to, you know, be led of the Lord. And it would be wonderful to know that I have a team of people, you know, that will be praying for us while we're gone. I have had other people contact me that need some things that are in the area they saw I was posting in there. So I'm trying to get, thank you, Miss Stephanie. I'm trying to get some information about their location and stuff. And, you know, that is the wonderful thing about me bringing a truck. You know, if I ride through the communities and people need to take trash to the dump or something, you know, if I need to go to the store and get something, you know, because a lot of them lost their cars. So I can, you know, do what I do best and drive, you know, give people lifts to the store or to the, get their prescriptions or whatever. And so I'm excited about it. I just want to be a vessel used of the Lord. And I'm excited to be with Miss Beth. You know, I've known Beth for years. I've known that woman for such a long time, maybe 6 or 7 years. And so, you know, me and Dennis had met her, and we'd driven through there before in Knoxville. She works at Cracker Barrel. And, you know, so I'm excited to be able to spend time with her while I'm there. I did offer an olive leaf, an olive branch to Steve and Yana. I'm just telling you guys. You know, to visit with them while I'm there, and told them I'd love to have peace, you know, because I still love them. And so y'all pray for that. I would love if that opportunity could happen while I'm up there, just to make peace would be great. And but at least they know that I've tried when I come up there. That's the area they live in. So let's see what else. The neighbors, oh my goodness. I went yesterday around all these neighbors and picked up their donations. I am so proud. I'm in awe you know, the people that are so happy to give to these people. And so today I've got some help coming, you know, to help me pack up and stuff. And so I'm just really blessed and honored. And then I told this one woman, you know, that I don't know if we can get to her, but I told her I may make another trip in a couple of weeks. My husband said that he would like for me to do this every 2 weeks. So he told me to contact the radio station and tell them, you know, that we'd be happy to drive donations up there, and maybe we can get a company to donate a U-Haul truck or something, you know. I don't know where this is going to go, but I am excited to be able to give and to be able to love on people and to see, you know, the love of the Americans towards each other. It's really good for me to see this. I need this right now because I've been very disappointed in our government and disappointed in, you know, the beast and all that they're doing to the countries, Miss Stephanie, not just to the United States, but what they're doing to every country. You know, they're just stripping us all dry, you know. And this is why all these terrible natural disasters, what they call natural disasters, are happening, is because they're clearing the land. They want the minerals. All those people over there, those mountain people, you know, I told y'all how Dennis was a mountain man. These people down there are mountain people. You know, these are people that live off the mountain. They know their herbs. They know their leaves that they can eat. You know, this is how they live. Most of them are extremely poor people, you know. And so now they've changed all the rules there and told them they have to live 100 feet up from flood level, which knocked out thousands of people out of their home, you know. It's just a very sad situation. But for me to see, since I've been a part of this, you know, the people coming together, and y'all might even look in your, you might even find in your state that there's a team, a volunteer team that are pulling people together to help these flood victims. You know, and you might see for yourself how America is coming together for their own. And it just makes me so proud. You know, after all the years of praying, because we see the fall of the country, we see the fall of the government, but these people that love their country has no idea what these governments are doing. You see what I'm saying? They have no idea what their government is doing. That's why when we try to talk to people, it hurts their ears. They cannot even fathom that it's really that evil. And it really is. Okay? So this is why I've been telling you guys, when we're talking to Americans, you know, to just regular Joes, regular people, we have to remember that these people are only believing the image of the beast. They're not bad people. They're just believing the wrong thing, you know. So, but when they're hurting like this and they've lost everything, they just need love. And that's where Christianity comes in. This is really our opportunity to shine. You know, these people, they don't, at this point, they don't care about the government. They don't care, you know, about all the political stuff that we know. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? What they care about is, can you give me the rivers? Can you give me, I need Jesus right now. I don't need the politics. I need Jesus, you know. And so this is what we're all being trained to do, show them the love of Jesus. when they get to a certain point and they begin to ask questions, then we can tell them. You know, Elon has money to burn. This is Stephanie from the UK. He's given $100 million to the British Reform Party, wants to oust the Labour Party. You know why that is? I'm going to tell you why that is, Stephanie. I know this. Because of the legislation. See, Elon is being put and having all these doors open. He's being granted all this grace in the United States because he is going to reform the heck out of our country. He is going to gut it from one end to the other and deregulate everything so that they can get AI. He's the AI. I call him the AI king. So he knows what it's going to take for the global ID. So he's got to get these countries to get their laws in order. And that's why he's doing that. I'm sure of it. Because he wants them to deregulate. Because a lot of the AI laws that people are, that the United Nations is doing globally is from Europe. So he needs to get that changed. I bet he is forking it out. Anyway. All right. So when we go and we help these victims, you know, we're not there to talk politics or nothing. We're just there to listen and to provide them a hug, to pray for them, and, you know, to just let them know we see their suffering. We see it. You know, so I'm very excited about it, and I leave first thing in the morning. And I wanted to tell you guys as well, you know, you've been asking for me to tell my stories, to write them in a book. So what I was thinking is, as I'm traveling and I'm live, I will share my stories riding down the road. Okay. So, that's what I'll do while I'm live. So if y'all can think of some stories, just text me. I'm putting together a list of stories, and then I will share that on the 5-hour road trip tomorrow. There is a lady I'm wanting to go see on my way there that is going through a lot, so I want to go minister to her. And then, you know, head on up to Knoxville, and then I'll meet Miss Beth and the other people there. And so I just want to tell you guys that I am so encouraged by Americans right now, that I'm just so very blessed, you know. And I'm very happy to be a part of this. Okay, so let's go ahead and spend a few minutes, and we'll pray in tongues. All right, hold on a minute. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise. For you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you. right, let me find this Deppy Keys. I love his worship. There it is, Deppy Keys. All right, all right. Have y'all ever heard of this guy? He plays the piano. It's so anointed. Well, I'll tell you what, that interview with Jesse last night really sobered me up again about the reality of spiritual warfare that we are living in. The power we have to pray in tongues. You know, we don't realize, you know, how much that is used in warfare. Okay, here we go. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Hark, the herald angels sing such a beautiful song. Angels sing to the newborn King, peace on earth, mercy mild, God and sinner reconciled. Nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. I love that song. All right, all right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I pray all of you guys are doing well. Can y'all believe that we are here in December? I mean, it just seems so hard to believe, don't it? Dennis would be with you guys this morning, but he's at work. He had to leave. But he does love you guys. He really does. He's just, y'all just pray for him because he's so swamped. Now the community, you know, they ride by and they see all his hard, beautiful work. Boy, they all want to hire him. So Dennis is a hot commodity. So he's gone right now, so it's just me. Now, I do have a little word for you guys this morning. If you would turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. It's a very short one. Matthew chapter 22. The title of this today is called The Bridegroom is Coming. Behold, the Bridegroom cometh. And Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables. And said, now, Jesus spoke in parables for one reason. Because the world does not understand this kingdom. He spoke in parables that only his people can understand. Because sometimes we can speak to the swine. Do you hear what I'm saying? They don't understand the precious jewels that are being released because they don't understand. So that is how Jesus is with parables. To us, it's a jewel. To other people, it's stupid. Okay? The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Okay, so pause, pause, pause. So Jesus is saying, I've invited these people to come. They're being stubborn, stiff-necked. So I sent other people after them. And they still would not come. Let's go to verse 5. But these people made light of it and went their way, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how come you're in here and do not have on a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away. Cast him into outer darkness, for there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Wow. That right there will preach upon preach upon preach. Do you respect your king? He's inviting us to the marriage supper of the Lamb, remember? What happens at the marriage supper of the Lamb? The bride stands on the sea of glass. This is the moment we're all about to enter into here. And what is the bride wearing? A white dress. This is the bride that has been martyred in tribulation, which is where we're at. So these people, as you look back up in here, these people didn't believe that they were that close to the wedding. They didn't believe. They passed it off. You know, they dismissed it. They didn't take it serious. They didn't even put on their dress, their wedding garments, because they dismissed the king. Behold, the bridegroom comes. After a bride without spot and wrinkle, a beautiful bride that has been through much in the earth, been through much trials and tribulations, been through battle, been through war, been through sickness and been through health. But she stayed separated. She didn't get entangled with the beast. She didn't let her dress get tainted with all their vomit, as Jesse pointed out last night, about events and things you go to where they just vomit on you. You watch these movies. You just invite them to come right in your house. How hard is it to pay attention? How hard is it to focus in this hour? It's hard. It's hard to resist all the many temptations around you for relief in the middle of your suffering. You know, some people will go off and have sex. They will act out in their suffering in many ways. They will go have sex. That used to be me. That was one of the ways. They'll go off and drink. They'll smoke. They'll do drugs. They'll go gambling. They'll act out and do stupid stuff because they're acting out of their suffering and this pain that they're feeling. Instead of doing like Jesse said last night, we need to get on our face before God. We have to die again. That's what I call it is. Is you bring yourself low and you get on your face and you die. You surrender all to the Lord. Because the devil wants us to act out in this hour. Yes, he does. He wants us to go off and do something stupid. To have relief in the middle of the suffering. Maybe go to a bar. Talk to people you shouldn't be talking to. Go into places you shouldn't be going, you know, because you get lonely. You're so tired of being alone and you're suffering. So your flesh wants to get out there and it wants to act. It wants to do, you know. Bring me relief. But this is where these people are right here. And this guy that was in the king's court at this wedding and did not have his dress on disregarded the moment of the beauty of this wedding and disregarded authority. We cannot do this. We have authority in our life. And that is our bridegroom. That is our King. You know, we have been bought with a price. We are married. I don't care if you're single or even if you're married. You are still married to the Lord. You are His beloved one. You are His precious one. You are called apart and meant to look different. You're not meant to get all tattooed up and ruin your temple. You're not meant to look like the world. Of course, that's what nard does. They want everybody to look. And you'll see this with a lot of Jews lately. I've noticed this, especially the ones they're putting on in charge of these news outlets that they're really pushing to the forefront, like Joe Rogan. They're just covered in tattoos. They want to look to the evangelicals, because this is how evangelicals look now, you know, in the NAR. They want to look cool and relevant. But Jesus calls us higher. We're called higher. We're called to be set apart. We're not called to look like the world. Did you know there's actually been prophecies that people that have tattooed themselves, that they will come off their bodies. Their tattoos will come alive. In one vision, they saw that people's tattoos were coming alive. So if they carved a beast, the beast would come alive. You know, they've come in agreement with Satan when they got them tattoos on there. That's why you have to repent and renounce your attachment. You did this blood covenant you made. That's what that is. And when I served Dr. Morris, when he taught me about the deliverance ministry, he taught me about, you know, what happens when somebody gets a tattoo because they carve their skin, they bring blood, just like you get when you get the jab. You know, it is a blood covenant that you're making with this person that's doing it, and whatever image that you carve on your temple is an image that you need to talk to God about, you know, type of deal. But anyways, the point is that we are not meant to look like them or act like them. We're meant to be different. Not that we have to be Amish or, you know, old-fashioned Pentecostal with no makeup and all that, but I do believe a woman should be modest. You know, we should cover ourselves. And not cause men to lust. You know, we should carry ourselves a certain way. You know. And we should just be respectful of other women and stuff, you know. And respectful of yourself. And so there is a way that we are to carry ourselves as a child of God. And the way that we are to present ourselves. When we are in public places, you know, we don't have to let them know that we're in agreement with them. One time, me and this girl visited this church, and they were having a revival, and y'all know I love revivals, the good old-fashioned ones. And so we went to this revival, and this elderly man, I guess he was the head pastor of the church, got up and said, "I'm just going to tell all you people out here, I took the vaccine. I ain't ashamed of it. I am to protect my other citizens and whatnot." And he said, "If you don't like it, you can get up and walk out." So me and that girl got up and walked out. Because I was not going to sit there in that church and listen to this man promote something to these hundreds of people there that I am in disagreement with. I'm not going to give the devil that pleasure. And so I got up and walked out. And I was like, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." It is a horrible thing what these people are partnering with. So anyways, as the bride, though, we are called to be separate, to come out from among them and be ye separate. Like right now he's telling us, come out of Babylon. Come out of the metaverse. But here's the thing about Babylon. You know, we see Ellen DeGeneres. Okay. You know, she moves to another country because Trump is becoming president. Which, I mean, really, you can't blame her because it is going to be terrible. But it's not that we leave our country. You know, I've already told you guys, we are a sinking ship, the Titanic. And we love our country enough, we're going down with the ship. We did these things before God. We've all acknowledged it. And the will of the Lord be done, you know. But we love her enough that we're going to stick with her through the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, this is, I bet you everybody that's ever listening to this broadcast, I don't care what day it is, I guarantee every last one of you love your country. I really don't think that any human really does not. I believe that the only thing that makes them a difference between them and, you know, the people that label themselves patriots is their action. You know, they maybe do more, you know, citizen stuff. But I do want to get it on record that a true patriot loves God first and honors him before they do their country. Because the trees of the field will clap their hands with righteousness, with holiness, and with the praise of God going forth. It does not clap its hands when you partner with the unclean thing in the name of social justice. When you get out here and partner with all these other religions in the name of pro-life, and you dumb your Jesus down, God gets no glory in that, people. You know, because now you're saying this is the solution to the problem. You know, is us coming together like the Tower of Babel, and we have the solution, which is humanity and the worship of the earth? No. No. Going up here to this part of this country where the flooding has devastated all these homes, I'm not going up there partnering with all these different religions and coming up with some solution. I'm going up there in the name of Jesus, partnering with other people that God has already put in charge there. And I'm coming underneath their headship, and I'm going to be serving. Do you hear what I'm saying? And then I'm going to do what God tells me to do, preach the gospel, yada, yada. I am not dumbing down Jesus to be a solution to a problem. And that's what NAR does. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So, that's the difference. But going back to beholding the bridegroom, okay? What it is these, I had somebody contact me yesterday. And, you know, I get a lot of texts from people. I mean, a lot of text from a lot of people I don't know. Okay? Because, you know, The church phone number is public, you know, and it's meant to be. So people can text me and ask questions or whatever, you know, how do I find this story or whatever. So somebody sent me this thing about how the King James Version is wrong. And they wanted me to go all the way back to something, 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 something. And I told them, I said, let me tell you something. I'm not going to do that. You know, there's so many people out here on YouTube that are sent from Satan to destroy Christianity and to destroy what this country stood on. So don't send me stuff that's going to destroy Christianity. Forget about it. I've already recognized what the false was. I've identified it, and now I'm showing what the true is, you see. So I told him, what's your name? These people refused to give me their name. I'm like, you want me to sit here and research all this stuff because you want me to debunk everything that we've ever taught? No way. And you won't even tell me your name. You won't even be honest with me. When people hide who they are, it's because they're hiding. You know, so don't try to debunk Christianity. Don't be sending that crap out, you know. I know that there's not perfect things, but don't be sitting there destroying anything else, you know, is the way I feel about it. So anyways, but beholding the bridegroom, okay, we keep our eyes focused on him because our king is coming. These people out here, what another thing NAR is doing is it is distracting people and getting them to look at the system. Behold your affection over here. Help us to conquer the world. Don't look at what's really happening. Look over here. Behold over here. You know, this is what they're doing. But Jesus is saying, behold me, people. I'm getting ready to come. Keep your eyes focused where they belong. And that's on me and my holiness. You know, we cannot compromise because NAR is nothing but compromise. And I keep saying NAR because that is the mainstream church now. And people need to understand the difference between the true and the false, you know. And so when we behold the truth. We behold the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I got an email from President Trump last night. And here's how he labeled it. What a farce this is. He says, the truth from Trump and Vance. I'm thinking, so my theory about you is right from the beginning. The reason you did that true social is because you're labeling yourself the truth. Because Jesus is the truth. That's what the Bible says. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. There, and this is why those Orthodox Jews labeled him the Prince of Peace. See, he really believes and knows what they have called him. This Messiah, Ben Joseph or Ben David. He knows who he is, and I believe Elon knows who he is too. And there's no way that this world would be bowing. Have you ever seen leaders like Putin? And all these leaders just bow down to somebody like they are Trump right now and Elon. I mean, you gotta think about it. Look at China. I mean, we're dealing with some evil, evil stuff here. This is why I need you guys to pray for me when I go out on the road. You know, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. All right, so going back to the scripture, though, and it says in verse 12, well, go to back to verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw that there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how come you are in here and do not have on a garment? And he was speechless. Which means he didn't have an answer to give him. He knew what he had done was wrong. And I still think about Jesse last night, you know. he was talking about how it just rings in his ears how them people kept saying, we're not supposed to be here. You know, and you think about this king calling this man who is disrespecting him openly and blatantly, friend. And those people, those preachers in hell that were preaching and asking Jesus, Jesus, I've been here 40 years. Can you please let me out of here? And Jesus said, the judgment has been rendered. You know, then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, I interviewed this guy one time, and he was telling me about this dream he saw when he was 16 years old. It was called the coming of the Lord. The day of the Lord, not the coming, but the day of the Lord. And he said it was nothing like what you would think it would look like. He said they were weeping and gnashing of teeth at the sight of the Lord. He said they were literally pulling their face off in the horror of him. Why do you think that is? Because they fear, they know the righteous and judgment God that he is. And the holiness, weeping and gnashing like, oh, they just can't stand the sight of him. So behold, the king is coming very soon for us. Yeah, we may be thrown in a prison. We may be thrown in a boxcar. We may be thrown in the back of a police car. We may be treated terribly while we're here like Jesus was. But if we can keep our eyes on the king and on the prize, you know, the Lord is going to be with us from this point to that point in glory. And you know, me and Dennis was talking about Jesse. You know, when these people die, when people die and they go to hell, they're alive. You know, you're still good. You're going to live forever. There's no doubt about it. Everybody is. But where the destination is the key. Because in hell, the way Jesse described it, is it stinks so bad that it's like a thick snake around you at all times, just squeezing you to death. You can't breathe, yada, yada. You're still alive. You feel everything. You see I never heard this before, but it really registered. His senses were sharper there. He could see better. He could hear better. He could taste better. Because that means you're going to experience every last bit of that torture. He said when they was torturing him, he felt every bit of it. You're alive. When you go to heaven, as I read in Brock's book about his experience in heaven, it is like that as well. Everything is alive. The plants are alive. The gold on the streets is alive. The stars are alive. The trees are alive. When Jesus walked by, the presence of Jesus caused the tree to explode in ecstasy. And the tree bloomed and blossomed out real fast when Jesus walked by. because of the reaction of his presence, the glory caused that tree to explode in joy. The same with the star when Jesus told the angel to pull the star down so Brock could look inside the star. The star was glistening in many different colors, just stretching as much as it could in the presence of the Lord. The stars are alive. The trees are alive. Everything, the mountains are alive. And I really believe that about the earth today. I do. I believe every tree out there right now is alive. They have cells just like we do. The trees are alive. I don't know if they have feelings or whatever, you know, they don't have a soul, but I believe they're alive. I believe, well, I don't know, I guess they do because they clap their hands, don't they? So that means they have to have emotions. I don't know, but all right, so the trees are alive. And then the mountains. We know the mountains have to have feelings because the Bible says they move. The mountains move. The mountains quake. They have reactions, you know, type of deal. But the point is that we're all alive. So when you go to heaven, your senses are going to be heightened there as well. You're going to see colors you've never seen before, is what Brock says. You know, your eyes, in Brock's book, he kept saying, my eyes just can't believe what I'm seeing. I can't even find a word in my vocabulary to describe the glory of the throne of God. The glory of the mountain of God. I can't even think of a word. You know? I mean, you can imagine. And I know that when I was with people on their deathbed, that it is just like that. You walk right into glory. There is no waiting period. There is no waiting place. There is no time. Like the Catholics, you know, they believe if you give them all this money, you can pray them out of purgatory. That's a false doctrine. False, false, false. There is no time. Once you take your last breath, you step into your eternity based upon how you lived. You step right into it. And so we need to really focus on keeping our dress white and honoring our King. You know, when I was growing up, whenever I went to church, they taught us back in those days. Now I'm 56. A lot of you are my age, you know. We was taught that you dress your best. When you go to church, you're dressing for God, you know. And then when I got older and started going to church, I was taught the same way. So I would go to church dressed to the nines. Not that I was trying to impress my brothers and sisters. It's that I was impressing my King. I was giving him my best. And you know, when God sent me to Bible college and I went up there to visit the church, and I told you how I was so nervous about going to this big meeting they had with all these preachers. There's like 5,000 greatness of these worldwide preachers that was in this big gymnasium, you know, having this big banquet when Rob Parsley was speaking. So I felt kind of out of place, you know, because I didn't have any nice clothes at the time. And, you know, I had just dedicated myself back to the Lord 100%, you know, probably a week ago, you know, from this point. So, but God still told me he was calling me to Bible college. So when he opened the door for me to go visit and I walked in this room, even though I felt insignificant and not worthy to be there with all these great preachers, you know, that were phenomenal. I walked in there and it was like, wow, this is where I belong. I felt it. I felt the greatness in my bones from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. It didn't matter what I had on. It didn't matter my terrible, terrible, perverted past. It didn't matter. It mattered the moment I was in. Because I am Esther standing before the king. You called me Lord. I'm here. I'm standing before the king. And all this ugliness in my past and what I've been through and all the lack that I have, I'm standing. So what do you say? You know, what do you say, Lord? And then that's the story that I told you how I had told the Lord a few days before. If you're calling me to go to that Bible college and you need to pay $4,500 because I ain't going nowhere unless you take care of my son, because you're asking him to give up his senior year of high school. Please, if you're calling me, take care of him. So then a few days later, he brings me up there. So I walk in this room and I sit at this table with this woman sitting next to me. And she leans over and she goes, "Thus saith the Lord, I have called you to come up here. Don't you worry about a thing, and I'm going to pay for your son." I was like, wow. I was like, okay, you know, come. It's why I love Pentecostal churches, you know. So the next day I go down the altar and I'm just praying, "God, I really just need another confirmation, Lord. I mean, you're asking me to do a lot here, Lord. You just gave me a brand new house the year before, and now you're asking me to give it back. I need to know this is you before I give up all this stuff," right? So I'm down there at the altar, and this woman walks up to me. She was the missions teacher at the Bible college. And she walked up to me, "Thus saith the Lord, I have called you to come to Bible college." Yes, she did. She said the same thing that woman said the day before. "I have called you to come to Bible college. Don't you worry about a thing. I'm going to pay for everything." So I'm like, "All right, Lord, here we go." So I come back home and I stand up in front of my church. I said, "I know I just got baptized a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going to tell y'all something. The Lord is calling me to Bible college." He telling me to sell my house, give my house back, and to give away all my furniture and to follow him with nothing. So if y'all want my furniture, come to the house and get it. And they did, you know. And then off I went. That was a story of $10. That'd take me half a day to tell that story. But God remained true. He did miracles. But see, what I went through in Bible college in a year and a half is what I just went through globally for the past 12 years. That Bible college experience back in 2005 and 6 paved the way for what I went through from 2013 to now. So, anyways, all right, well, I feel the peace of God, so I guess I just finished everything. I want to finish on this one note, though. This sentence right here in verse 14. Many are called, but few are chosen. Ouch. How many Christians who call themselves Christians, who think they're Christians, are not going to make it? Remember, Jesse said that was one of the things that still hurts his ears. I'm not supposed to be here. This ain't right. I shouldn't be in hell. Because their doctrine taught them that what they was doing was okay. See, they got in these churches and got taught wrong or whatever. And some of them was in hell, he said, because they was never taught. Woe unto those preachers that did not reach these people. You think those people are suffering? These preachers probably be 1,000 times worse. Because the Bible says it's better for you to have a noose around your neck than to hurt one of his kids. So that's the way God's going to look at that person, you know, which Jesse explained to you guys as well, that hell is like a human body. And ever how you sinned is where you end up in hell. So all of the preachers are up with Satan himself. He tortures them himself because he's mocking them for failing in their preaching duties, you know. And so when you think about it, though, many are called, but few are chosen. So everybody lift your hands and let's pray right now. Let's just nip this thing in a bud. Okay, here we go. Just repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I repent to you today for all of my sins. And Lord, I'm asking you if you would pull out all wrong doctrine, any residue of nar, and any of my stinking thinking that would hold me back from you, Lord. Cleanse my heart, Jesus, and make me whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I thank you for healing all of these people, making them whole, purifying their heart, Lord, healing all those roots. And Lord, just as Jesse explained yesterday, Lord, about the demons and the assignment, the names of demons, Lord, I pray for all of us today. Lord, that all the doors that we have opened to demons when we didn't know what we was doing, or even if we did, but any door we opened, we humbly repent to you today, Lord. Wash our temples clean today and remove every demon out of our temple. We renounce every door that was opened to bring in any unholy thing into our temples and into our homes, Lord. We recognize your holiness today, and we submit ourselves to you, Lord. We thank you and praise you, God, for healing us and delivering us, Lord, and going to use us for your glory, Lord, in the coming days. Lord, we give you our temple today. Fill us with your glory, Lord, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Fill us with your presence, the true glory. We thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to see the truth and to heal us, Lord. We humbly accept all of your correction this past week and your alignment by using Jesse. We thank you for that vessel, Lord. Use him in a mighty way in the coming days. We know that he is being revealed for such a time as this, Lord. Bless him. And Lord, we pray about this trip as I leave tomorrow, that you would put angels around the truck and around Beth's vehicle, Lord. And that you would lead us this weekend and open the doors wide like you do every time you send me on a trip. It's the most miraculous things what you do, Lord. And I'm excited to see what you do because I know you have angels with me and I know that you will protect me even though I'm by myself. I know you will, Lord. And I thank you for all my brothers and sisters on the call today that are with me in spirit, that pray with me and hold up my arms, Lord, and that we're all a family representing Garden of Eden Ministries and going up there and giving them the waters from the garden, the rivers of living water. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy to be praised, Lord. And we pray for all of the victims today of the flooding in North Carolina and Tennessee and Florida, down there with Miss Dorothy, and Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee. And I pray, Lord, that you give them warmth and that they would find you and know you more than anything, that they would be put in right alignment through this suffering, Lord. And I just thank you and give you praise, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me stop the recording. Okay, I want this to be official, so I want y'all to hear this. One thing that I'm sensing is, all right, now you've got the Antichrist that partnered with a queen bee years and years ago. Remember in my book called The Chosen One, I went through his what happened growing up, even when he met her. I talk about it. Well, this woman that I'm talking about has been messing with the church for a long time. You know, I told you guys that I've been to two Bible colleges and I've been pretty heavily involved in NAR. Of course, I didn't know what it was, you know, but I was going to this one church and we had the most awesome youth group. We had 500 youth going there all the time. And this was back when we was in Bible college, so Brock was a leader in there. And it was really popping. I mean, it was so good that Rob Parsley wanted to make this leader, that was the leader of the youth group, over all the leaders in the world. So, because Rob Parsley, Pastor Rob Parsley, has a ministerial alliance, and he also has he started a youth alliance. So because this guy was so good, he wanted him to be the head of all of them across the world. And so he invested, like, I don't know how many tens of thousands of dollars into this man. And he planned a big conference where he was going to reveal this, you know, that he was going to start this big youth alliance so that all the youth pastors across the world can come together and, you know, talk about the issues they have as youth pastors and yada, yada, you know. And so, I mean, it was huge. Like, we was having Ty Tribbett and all them big ones coming in, you know. So I'm sure it cost Pastor Parsley, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, to roll this out. Well, this woman found out about this awesome youth pastor, and she stole him. And this is public record, so I'm not talking about it. This is all public. She stole him and brought a U-Haul truck in the middle of the night. I'm talking just a few days before this massive blowout event, okay? So we had youth from all over the world there, you know, and the pastors and everything. So this guy just disappears. Well, my daughter had just gotten saved through this man. And it took a lot for her to get saved. I mean, years and years of praying. But she loved him like a father. They all did. He was that good. Well, he disappears. So all of these youth are like left standing. Where did our leader go? You know. And they had no idea. So Rob Parsley gets up there on the platform, and he said he had a decision to make. You know, was he going to tell the truth or what about what happened to his man? So he told the church. He said that's exactly what happened. She stole him. And she has done that to minister after minister after minister. She finds all the up-and-coming influencers, and she steals them into her church down in Florida. This is that woman that's with Trump. So I just want to tell you guys, destruction follows this woman. And she, I'm telling you, the kids in our church, you know, Rob Parsley Church was bawling. I mean, it hurt so bad. You know, many of them backslid. It was really sad. And the sad thing was, he went down there to her church and he became her youth pastor. And then a year later, she divorced her husband and said she just didn't want to be with him no more. She just didn't feel like she picked the right one, you know. But so she divorced her husband and then left him and then ended up with Rob Parsley. I mean, not Rob Parsley, but President Trump soon after in Trump Tower. And so how that happened, I don't know, but I'm just telling you that this is what I witnessed from that woman. So now, fast forward all these years, okay? God sends me from that Bible college all the way to the White House. And I'm up there with this woman. I mean, just picture this. You know? I know what happened with my kids and the destruction of this woman. And I'm standing there behind a camera when she is there at a national prayer event with President Trump up there as the head speaker, you know. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, So the reason I'm telling you guys this is I think I put two and two together about something. All right. So this woman knows evangelicalism. She is from T.D. Jakes, you know, the man with the plan, who has done a lot of gospel movies. So he knows how we move and shake, you know what I'm saying? So if he's got this advice coming from the Queen Bee about how we think and how we move, I just want you to go with me here for a minute. I'm thinking, you know, the bottom hadn't fell out yet. The lights haven't went out yet. Like we was thinking, you know, the grid was going to go down. And then, you know, the persecution that we know is coming. So I'm thinking, because they're already bringing in Elon, who has all these people who she's partnered with. And they're bringing, and it's worse on us now because nothing's falling apart. And it looks like they've got a golden age coming forth. And they've got this fake revival growing across the world from the Catholic Church, which is a 3-year revival. So all of us, you know, that have been prophesying, you know, that Babylon's going down and they're keeping it up, they're propping it up. Okay, so another thing I thought of is, if they're telling him, if you do persecution like what we've done in the past, where you let it drag out, it will be worse for you. And it would be, wouldn't it? Because revival breaks out in a great persecution. Because then people, in other words, what I'm saying that I'm putting together is, I'm thinking they know exactly what they're doing. Because as long as, because they have to have electricity for their power boosters. Elon just put in the biggest, and he's building the biggest supercomputer ever in the world in my area, here in Memphis. So why would he put that there if the grid's going to go down for years? Y'all hear what I'm saying? The point that I'm saying is, as long as they can keep a facade up like what, what's her name said that I interviewed, Celeste, as long as they can make people think that everything is still normal, but they're gutting everything from the inside out, and then they have all these natural disasters, and then, in other words, what if people will be arrested and executed and everything under a guise where the main public won't even know about it? You know, I mean, just think about how they're doing the, you know, the way they're doing the people in the flooding. It's like they're completely ignoring these people. They're not even showing the devastation. They're not sending the army trucks down there, you know, to help pull these people out of mud and nothing. It's like they have dropped them off the face of the earth because they're keeping them distracted with this other goofiness. It's all about Trump out there. But what I'm trying to say is, what if they do this knowing that as long as it stays glorious, it's going to be worse on us, is the way I feel about it. And so I'm thinking they probably listened to her, to them saying, well, you don't really want it to drag out, you know, because then these people will look like they was right. You know, and there will be revival. People will be rebellious. If you think about the situation of the church, which would be worse? For the grid to go down and everybody's eyes suddenly be open. What is going on? They are out of their slumber. Or for them to keep it this way, keep them in their slumber, and to make us look stupid. You know, because they're rolling in the global ID, they'll just take it like nothing. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Just think about what I'm trying to say and let me know what you think. Just text me about it. Because I'm thinking something is up here. Oh, I've got all these ministries contacting me now. Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving us connections in the East. Oh. This one's the Hope House is contacting us for donations. God is good. Okay, guys, but just think about what I said because I think they know how we are tick, you know, how we tick as a church. You know, because if the grid was to go down, you know, people would then come to us and ask questions. But if it looks like that everything is smooth as a, you know, the way it is right now, and then he comes into office and he does lockdowns and, okay, the fiber for the cyber. the dream God gave me in 2021. The shaming of the church. Okay, now you do need to hear this. Okay, so Trump, through the Q, the questionable character dude, has been promising everybody that Trump is going to bring the hammer down, baby. He is going to come after all of the, I think they call them white hats or whatever. But he's going to do massive arrests against pedophiles and all this. Okay, so what I believe they're going to do is frame it on the church and make it look like it was us instead of the real guilty ones. Y'all hear what I'm saying? That's what I felt like was in my dream. And so it will look like he's really doing what he's doing and then disguising it when it's, you know, the church instead of the actual people that actually did. Barabbas. A Barabbas deal. But as long as they keep everything with the lights up and stuff, people are going to not, their eyes, I don't think their eyes would be open type of deal. All right, so let me know what you think. I'll talk to you guys later. Thank you. Yes, it is a wonderful time in the Lord. Either way it goes, we know that we're going to meet our Maker very soon. That's a fact. And that we have to be ready to give our all because we cannot comply with the global ID. And that's what Elon is doing. You know, and we know that this false church, the one that she's leading, okay, she's one of the heads in our, is pushed, they pushed everybody to the V, first of all. There's nobody defending us that's a non-Ver out there. Nobody. In the government realm. Not RFK Jr. Nobody. Because they're all together. Because the jab is part one to the global ID. There's three parts. So the other two parts is where Elon comes in. Because this is that Everything app. This is the carbon credit score, which is RFK. I told you all this. But the other part is the social credit score, which is Elon. So, you know, if they keep it the way it is, the church is just going to push them right on in. The ones, the false church, I'm saying. So anyways, all right, well, I'm going to get off here and I will talk to you guys later. I really enjoyed it today. Thank you guys for praying for everybody. Love you. And thank you all for praying for us on our trip as well. And pray for Papa as he's back here on the farm by himself. The neighbors, oh my goodness. You know, I told you how they all donated for this trip. They are so in love with us now. You know, because they see our heart. We're not outsiders anymore. We're actually accepted now in the community. So we're thankful. It took 2.5 years, you know. But I've learned that when you move somewhere, you walk softly. You go in, you don't make any trouble, you be quiet. This is what God told me about the White House. He said, when you go in the White House as a White House correspondent, you sit there and be quiet for 4 months. And I did, and I didn't know why he gave me that command. But when I got in there and I went and minded my own business in the press room and I just worked and did my press things outside of his office, I did that for 4 months, minding my own business, went through a lot of persecution because of me praying for him and everything. But because I did that and I walked softly, God opened up the ridiculous doors. You know, because the people trust me. They saw I wasn't in there trying to, you know, act like I'm better than them because I'm a Christian or causing problems or, you know, being sneaky or nothing. I just went in there and minded my business. And I was professional. I represented the church, I believe, very well. You know, I was very, there was another guy in there who was representing evangelicals, and he was from some other state way off in the West, and he would come in once in a blue moon. Oh, so embarrassed, because he would go in there, and he would just not represent us well at all. Just rude to people, act like he was better than them, because he's a Christian in the White House press car, you know. He just wasn't, it was just, oh, I was like, thank you, Lord, you brought me here. But when I go up there now, you know, I'm very well accepted. It's just I'll never go back in there again. You know, my time of being there is over. I will not have anything to do with Trump. Not his second one, you know. But anyway, so I will talk to you guys later, and y'all have a wonderful day. God bless.